You're listening to David Bevan. David Bevan on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Glenn Seidel is the Secretary of the Independent Education Union of South Australia, and he joins us now. Good morning, Glenn Seidel.
Oh, good morning, David.
Now, the South Australian Institute of Teachers, they're pretty cranky with the government and they don't want the kids to go back to school. What's the Independent Education Union saying?
The IEU is essentially on the same page as the AU, but with a different spin. We both want schools to be safe for students and staff. We are actually calling on the schools to say, if you're going to call students back, then you are going to have to make sure that you've got all of the safety processes in place. Yeah, enough sanitizer, enough cleaning, the ability to have your 4 square meters per person and 1.5 meters apart. If you can do that, then schools are as safe as general society is, and you may as well be at school as out in the general community. And as those restrictions relax over time, so too can they in the schools. So it's the same prime objective, just from a different angle.
Is your union, the Independent Education Union, satisfied that the independent schools are meeting those demands?
Well, we've got a great range of responses from schools because each one is making their own decisions. We've got some that next week are going back totally face-to-face with no online. Others are going back totally online with no face-to-face and everything in the middle. So there is no one answer. And it'll depend on the level of IT available, the space, the number of students coming back. It really is a complete dog's breakfast out there in the non-gov sector.
Oh, really? So what's Monday going to look like?
Nobody knows. Some people pretend they know, but nobody actually knows. Schools may have been putting out surveys to parents. The older the survey, the less accurate the data will be.
Yeah.
And I think parents are getting a bit tired of this novelty of homeschooling. And I'm sure just to preserve some domestic harmony, they're probably going to send kids back no matter what the risk factor.
Yeah. For those of us who don't teach, how difficult will it be? Because you've got a whole bunch of teachers who have put their heart and soul into preparing online work. And now, within the space of a couple of days, they've been told, "No, you're back in the classroom." So, were they all
told anything?
Sorry, Glenn.
There'll be a whole lot of people haven't been told anything yet. That they don't know which way it's going.
But would it be hard to do both at the same time? So, if you've got a classroom. Depending on how well healed your school is, if you've got a big screen that is able to show students who are at home, you'd be able to talk to them on the screen, and you've got another bunch of the rest of the class is actually sitting there at their desks like they normally would.
Yeah, look.
Could you do both?
Look, I think if you take the model of a university lecture being live streamed while one person is up the front talking to a whole group, you could live stream a lecture. But really, a teaching lesson is a stand-up performance art. It's responsive. It's dealing with individuals. It's if you just talk for 40 minutes of a 40-minute lesson, that's not teaching. So if you're responding to individuals and interacting with them with eye contact and body language and going over and sensing problems, that's nothing that you can actually film. But the online learning that was being devised beforehand isn't just a video presentation. This will be materials and prompts and exercises and feedback. It's quite a different modality. You might be trying to get the same learning objectives, but it's a totally different mechanism to do it.
But the teachers always knew there were going to be a portion of the kids in the class, didn't they?
Our view is that you should only do one mode at a time.
Okay, don't try and mix it up.
Yeah, if you're doing online and some students come to school, then they work on their computers online as if they were at home. It doesn't matter where they are. They could be in the public library if it was open. Yeah. At a certain point, you'll have to tick over where you've actually got more people, some critical mass on site, and then you'd flick over to face-to-face. And you might not even do it for the whole school. You might have the Year 12s back first, and they might be being done face-to-face, but the 11s might be still online.
And look, a text you're saying, it goes beyond that, David. You really have no idea what happens in schools. I'll be the first to admit that. That's okay. It's all right to not know what goes on in schools, and that's why we ask the questions. This person goes on to make the really good point, though, that what happens in poor schools, not low socioeconomic areas, let's just call them what they are, they're poor.
Yeah.
In poor schools, it's going to be even worse. Or maybe in the poor schools, Glenn, it'll be actually more straightforward because they haven't got great internet, in which case they're more likely to just turn up at school, hoping to get an education.
Yeah, that's quite possible. That the other people with poor internet connections are going to be in remote areas where it just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You've also got boarding houses in various schools where the students have come from long distances, so they live in the boarding house. Schools close the boarding house, so the kids have to go home. It's not even a choice to send them to school because the school's closed the boarding house.
Yeah. That's Glenn Seidel. He's Secretary of the Independent Education Union of SA, and he's predicting it's going to be a dog's breakfast on Monday.